Hello and welcome to Off the Record. In today's episode, we're talking about The Deep End by True Gardens. Oh, hello. welcome to the very first installment of this little Off the Record series that I asked you guys if you would maybe possibly be interested in. Most of you said yes, six of you said no, so if you're one of the six, my apologies. This may not be the audio for you. So today, we're talking about The Deep End, because why not start at the beginning? So I just finished listening to The Deep End, my fill of The Deep End, which is what we're going to talk about. This is less about, like, the actual script, because, I mean, I didn't write it. True Garden wrote it. But it's more about how I felt about the character and how I recorded it and what I think of it now that it's, like, finished and it's been in the universe. So for this particular audio, I recorded it 8 months ago, like recorded and posted. I'm pretty sure that I filled it either the same night that it was posted or the next day. I feel like it was the same night. I jumped on it with the quickness, which I don't normally do when new scripts are posted because, I don't know. I just like to wait. So I just finished listening to it for the first time in about, like, 8 months. Like, I don't usually listen to things after I've posted them. I listen to them before I post them multiple times just to make sure that, you know, they don't suck. And then once they're posted and people are, like, leaving comments and shit, I don't listen to it again. So this was the first time that I've heard it in ages. And wow. Let's start with that. Let's start with how it just felt to listen to it. Also, if you hear my chair is really noisy, and it squeaks. So if you hear odd noises, it's totally just the chair. Like, for real, it's the chair. Okay, so it felt really weird to listen to this audio again after so long. And after learning the amount of things that I've learned over the last 8 months, especially in terms of recording quality, first of all, because the first thing I noticed when I hit play was, oof, I can hear that, like, that room noise. I can hear, like, I clearly had not joined the church of noise reduction yet. So I heard, like, the sound of the room first. And then second of all, performance. So I have learned a lot about how to deliver lines, or, like, I've gotten more comfortable in becoming certain characters, I guess you could say, like, without turning this into some kind of odd, you know, I'm a thespian kind of thing, because, you know, I am making audio porn, but, you know, I like to try to become different people when I'm recording stuff, because I find it interesting. And hearing the way that I delivered those lines and remembering, like, it kind of, like, took me back to sitting in front of my mic and, like, reading the script, recording the headspace that I was in at that time. So, like, I sat here and I had, like, a bit of a moment listening to that audio again. And I recorded it so simplistically. Like, I'm aware of three fills, mine included. There could be more. Correct me if I'm wrong. And as far as I know, I'm likely the only person who didn't actually add any sound effects. So, you know, there's no sound of being in the pool. There's no sound of being in the shower. It's literally just a voice. Because if I'm not mistaken, up until then, I had never added sound effects to any of my audios because largely I did narratives, and if I did action, I didn't like go full out, and you know, I never used any sound effects or anything like that. It was mostly just a voice. and it's interesting to hear that because at this point I'm so used to adding stuff to my audios. I wouldn't go so far as to say I'm known for it or anything, but, you know, I usually add things like, you know, door open, door close, like, ambiance in the background if we're at a coffee shop. And then, you know, I've been known to stick my own original music in the background of some of my audios too. So it was really interesting to listen back and remember before I did any of that stuff when it was just the voice. And I don't usually do that. So I don't know, it was really fascinating to hear the performance choices that I made, you know, for lack of a less pretentious way to say that. Also, there's a line at the beginning where she says that, you know, she's like the top swimmer of the Cornwell swim squad. And I distinctly remember multiple takes where I kept saying Cornwell swim squad. So, you know, let me know if you're a member of the swim squad, because I could not fucking say that line at all. Okay. So this was the first audio a lot of people heard from me. At the time, it was the highest upvoted thing that I had ever posted. And when I talk about the upvotes, it's not so much like, oh my God, look how amazing and how, you know, clearly I'm the paragon for audio excellence in pornography. It's not so much that as it is like, it's an indication of popularity. That is all that upvotes will tell you, is like the number of people. It doesn't tell you like what an audio means to you. It doesn't tell you what kind of quality it is. It doesn't tell you any of that like deeper shit. So that being said, getting like 300 whatever upvotes on an audio for the first time, like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that didn't feel amazing, because it did. Like, I know they're fake internet points, and I know that they don't like define artistry. And yes, I said artistry about audio porn, sue me. Like, it means a lot to me, okay? But like, it doesn't define any of that stuff. It's just an indication of popularity, but it does feel good to get them. Do you know what I mean? I know you know what I mean. So that was a pretty clear indicator to me that like people did enjoy my voice, and that I didn't have to just stick to the like more degrading, like darker, overly submissive type audios in order for people to enjoy it. Because when I first started, my first few audios were all like kind of like they featured a lot of F-sub and degradation. And that's what I was in, like, into at the time. And I'm still into a lot of that now. I just, like, I hadn't really considered, like, trying to branch out and try different things. So I was still, like, in the early stages. I was, like, trying to find my voice, so to speak. And trying to figure out what in the sweet holy fuck I wanted to put into the universe. So I was looking for scripts. And I know that I've made jokes about it before, about like quitting, deleting everything, running away to live with the goats in the mountains. But I really was actually feeling like really dissatisfied. I felt like I had like hit a wall. There were people who had started making audios after me that were doing quote unquote better than me in terms of like, you know, sudden popularity. And I was feeling frustrated because of course I was. I'm a human being. We all have that inside us where it's not necessarily jealousy, but it's like you wonder if what you're doing adds any value to the world. And it's really easy to convince yourself that it doesn't add value to the world. And that is wrong, because everybody has something that they need to add to the world. Like, nobody is you, so you have to do what makes you happy, and it will probably make other people happy. So I was struggling really hard with that, and I was looking for scripts. I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to fill, but it was almost like, it felt kind of like a little bit of a last-ditch effort, where I was like, okay, if I can't find anything that, like, really speaks to me, really moves me, really makes me want to record again, then maybe I'll just stop, was kind of where I was at. And I saw it when it was posted because of the tomboy tag, first of all, because I'm a tomboy in real life, and I was like, oh, that might be interesting. And then the wheelchair girl tag. And initially when I clicked on it, I was worried because I was afraid that it was going to be one of those scripts that, like, fetishizes people with physical disabilities. And that is so not my jam. Like, I would have not been happy to see something like that. And I wouldn't, you know, normally click on something like that because of my worries, but I was like, fuck it, I'm going to read it. And as I read it, I realized that although this character is in a wheelchair, that's not her defining characteristic. Do you know what I mean? So she's like a sensual person. She's a badass. She's got tattoos. She's like taking care of herself, taking care of, you know, what she needs to do. And she doesn't shy away from talking about her disability, but then she also, like, doesn't let people define her that way. You know, she chooses how she wants to be defined. She was just a whole complete sensual person. And I fell in love with her attitude. And I was like, this chick, ugh, she speaks to me. So, I really, really related to her fears at not being seen as enough. So I may not have a physical disability, but I do deal with mental illness, and I've been pretty open about that. If just in case anybody's new here and they don't know that, I have major depressive disorder and I'm on medication for it because when it hits hard, I essentially become, you know, a boulder. I will just stay in my bed and I won't leave, and everything goes really bad. So I have my own sort of struggles, and I worry a lot about not being enough or not being good enough for people, for friendships, to create things, like, you know. And there's this one line that Garden wrote that when I just listen to it now, I could hear in my own voice how much it hit me, because she says that she's the definition of less. And even just saying that out loud right now just gave me goosebumps, because that is how I have felt for so much of my life. Like, so much of my life, I have felt like less than, not good enough. Like, it wouldn't matter what I did, it would never be enough to make me worthy, to make me, like, as worthy as other people, which now I know is, you know, largely due to the, you know, chemicals in my brain being a shit. So I'm in a much better place now, but I was able to kind of use that experience and that headspace as a springboard to find and relate to those emotions, like, to kind of, like, shift them into the character's experience versus, you know, not having anything to relate to. So, like, she just, the way that she's written is amazing. And the way that people connected with that audio and the messages that I got, and the way it sort of, like, completely shifted my trajectory when it comes to my attitude as a creator versus as a listener of, you know, audio porn, it made a huge difference. So it really stands as a true testament to the way that art of any kind, things that you create, can impact people in unexpected ways, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, when he wrote it, he wasn't expecting some, you know, weird dork from Canada to be like, holy shit, this is amazing. Never mind, I'm not going to quit making audios. I'm going to keep making audios, because if stuff like this exists, then I want to keep being a part of it. So, I think I mentioned there are some other fills, and I think, like, I highly encourage you to listen to the other fills. I'm going to link them in the body of the post so that you can check them out. And, if they're not 6 months old, you can upvote them and comment and do whatever, to support the ladies who also filled this amazing script. And that sort of, like, brings me to a little tangent where I want to talk about the importance of not seeing each other as competition, because a lot of times when somebody fills something, especially if that person has a really big platform, other people will sort of feel like they can't fill it or they shouldn't fill it, because then they're either copying or stepping on someone's toes. And I just want to go ahead and say that that's not fucking true, because no two people are going to do a script fill the exact same way ever. Like, it's always going to be different. It's going to be a different voice, a different timbre, a different, you know, method of production. Different emotions are going to be brought up. So, you know, I just don't want people to ever think that just because, you know, somebody filled a script and got, you know, an ass load of upvotes, that, you know, your voice doesn't matter, because that's not true. Your voice does matter. And somebody's going to hear it, and it's going to make them feel amazing to listen to you. So if you're a performer, I highly recommend you reach out to the writer and possibly fill the script. I don't know if he's updated since the paste bin thing happened, but like, this script is beautiful, and this character deserves to have as many voices as possible telling her story. So that's my feelings on that matter. So yeah, there's not really a whole lot to talk about when it comes to the process of recording and editing this one, because I really just recorded it and then edited out, you know, me saying dumb shit like Squim Squad. So yeah, if you haven't listened to the fill, please listen to my fill, and then the fills of the other people, and read the script, and send love and support. And remember that, you know, although it's porn, and although there's a lot of sex in it, beyond the lewdness, it's all about humanity, right? So thank you for listening to this. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope I didn't ramble too much or not enough. And if there's any particular audio that you want to hear me talk about, that you might have questions about, whether it's from a performance standpoint or like a production standpoint, or you just, I don't know, want to know if it turned me on, I guess, you can comment, let me know, reach out, say something. Otherwise, I do have like a stack of audios that I have thoughts about. So with that, I'm going to wish you a wonderful day. Take care of yourselves and each other. And above all, when you're moving through the world, don't be a dick. Bye.